Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord God, that you're with us here today. Speak now, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit. Speak because we're listening. Speak a word for us, for your people. Speak, Lord God, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And now my sermon title today is United in Mission and Ministry. Let me clean my glasses here for a minute. That's better. Now the question is for us today, is there a difference between mission and ministry? The difference between mission and ministry reflects an internally focused church and an externally focused church. Where does our church stand? Because there is a mission and then there's ministry. Mission is, in my understanding, is really God's mission, which is the redemption of the world. We were created to be in perfect relationship with him, but we sometimes do fall short as human beings. The church is to be God's partners in that mission by proclaiming the kingdom of God in both word and deed. That's the only reason why we come together as church, friends. We are to follow Jesus' example of healing, feeding, teaching, and preaching, especially to those who are not already within the church. Amen? That's our task. On the other hand, ministry is the work of the church, the activities that keep us going. Ministries provide a very different function within the church, but more for those who are already there or visiting. These are very necessary for the church to function through worship, administration, programming, maintenance, teaching, and more. And so a church must have its mission, and its mission must translate to its ministry. Amen? And if they don't connect, something is wrong. And as you can see from the picture on your bulletin, it's on the overhead, if a house be divided against itself, the house cannot stand. Jesus, as we read in the Gospel of Mark, and you know, we could take that for our personal lives, you know, also, but I'm focusing on the church. Right? But you could take that if you're in a house and it's divided. Jesus, the Bible tells us that the crowd had come together again so that they would not let them eat. Would not let Jesus and the disciples eat, right? And when his family heard it, they went to restrain him, for the people were saying, he is gone out of his mind. Even Jesus' family did not understand his mission. Right? One writer says, if you think you're having family problems in your family, just look at Jesus' family. They did not get it, right? They thought he was crazy. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said he was the devil, right? Right? He was from the devil. And that he was a ruler over the demons because he cast demons out. So they were demonizing him. They didn't understand his mission. And so he called them to him, Jesus did, and he spoke to them in parables. And he says, how can Satan cast out Satan? And then he said, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Friends, if a church is divided against itself, it cannot stand. And then Jesus will say, and if a house is divided against itself, that house will not stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end will come. So Jesus is saying even Satan cannot be divided against himself. Amazing, isn't it? That we as church must always seek to understand what the mission. And I want to tell church members, it is more productive and certainly more Christian to work along with the leadership of the church, starting with the pastor, making comments, good constructive comments, than going behind the leadership's back and you lovely people here don't do that, talking to the other people who are missing. Or you're listening, right? Then going behind and try to critique and judge things that we don't understand, because what it does, it brings a divided church. Amen? Scripture says we should be on one accord, right? Sunday morning, when you see us here Sunday morning or see me, this is just one small percentage of what goes on here to get to here. Right? This is what you see. This is what people see online. But this is only one small percentage. All week long, we are working together, working the team to figure out what we must do to get it look so seamless to the best of our ability. Amen? And sometimes we mess up because we are what? Human beings. Right? Scripture says, is anyone without sin cast the first stone? So I try to say to people, don't waste your energy and your breath. Now, I know Doc is here, and Doc has been coming to church now because he's watching the mics. And I finally said to Doc, my God, you're here again. Because he has been here all week, not to pick on him, just to try to figure out every day, sometimes at night, he's calling me in the mornings. Is here trying to get the technology, which is more complicated than we think, to getting it going, even on my computers and missing computer, and things are down, and getting the internet up, and all kinds of things, and the cameras, and this has changed. It is all week long trying to get it looking right for today, right? For the one day that we come, but more than that, to glorify God, right? So that someone could hear the gospel, right? And may get saved. That's our key, right? Right? Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We worry every day we use that phone to do our service. Is the internet going to be down? Is the internet going to be up? What happens when we see people text us from online and say, oh, this is a little foggy? We're saying to them, oh, yes, because we don't control the internet. These things happen. It is a constant battle to get it going, right? I finally said to, I'm glad that we are trying to get a cameras now. It's costly, but we are working towards it so that we could free up the phones. But some of the best churches with money and organization, their internet and Zoom and Facebook goes down, just like ours. A church divided will not stand. So I always say when we're working towards what? The mission and the ministry of making disciples, and we're doing the best we can. And I say to folks who will critique and have ideas, offer your help, offer your assistance, right? Tell us what you can do. Call me and tell me, I'll lead you to the person who's in charge of it. And then help so that we together can do it. Amen? That is what Jesus says. We cannot be divided. We cannot let Satan, the devil, divide us. Right? We have to stay together. Jesus declared that. And, friends, you can also take this in your own personal life. If you're living in a house with your spouse or your children and whomever, and you are divided in what that family needs and should do, you will fall. want us to come together on one accord. And there are times there are people in the church who are not on one accord with the ministry of the church, and they should leave. There are people who have made a lot of mess here. One particular human being in this church, all the time I've been here, always something negative. Never anything positive. How we desire just to hear somebody says, well done, or good job, or thank you. Amen? Because we are all doing it to make disciples. And so let me tell you a story about a mission that was of God. And it's called Mushrooms from Heaven. In 1880, a Christian couple, George and Sarah Clark, purchased the lease for the Pacific Beer Garden. Promptly dropping the word beer, the couple added the word mission. They were Christians, you see. Not that they can't have a beer, but you know, they didn't want it to people to think that they're just gonna do drinking beer. And launched a ministry to homeless, alcoholics, and downtrodden men and women. Thus was born the Pacific Garden Mission of Chicago, the old lighthouse, the second oldest rescue mission in the United States. Colonel and Mrs. Clark bore the cost of the mission themselves, but as expenses grew and the ministry expanded, their funds ran low. Eventually, the day came when they could not pay the rent. Attempts to secure the needed funds failed, and Colonel Clark was told he had only 24 hours to make the payment. Otherwise, he would lose his lease and the Pacific Garden Mission would close. But friends, when you're working for God, trust me. Throughout the night, Colonel and Mrs. Clark prayed, asking God to guide and to provide in his own way and time. They reminded the Lord of the souls being saved each night, of the men and the women whose lives were being salvaged. They asked him why they should find themselves in such straits while trying to do his work. But determined to trust and not to question, they remained before the throne of grace and mercy in simple faith and in earnest pleading until the breaking of dawn. And when they emerged from their Morgan Park house that morning, they gasped. What had happened to their front yard? It was covered with something white, something that instantly reminded them of the manna of the Old Testament. And looking closer, they discovered their lawn was filled with mushrooms of the very best quality, which was quite mysterious because it wasn't the season for mushrooms. And gathering the crop, the Clarks carted the mushrooms down the street and sold them to the chefs of the Palmer House, the famed hotel just off Michigan Avenue, for a large price. Amen? And the receipts were enough to pay the rent with enough left over to meet other ministry expenses. So the Pacific Garden Mission carried on its work undeterred. Amen? When you work together for the good of God's people and you trust God, God will bring you through. This was a problem with the children of Israel in that Old Testament text I was read to you. God was with the children of Israel throughout the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you see God in their midst, right? We get to 1 Samuel, and they're watching everybody else's ministry, so to speak. They're watching all the nation, and they now want what? A king. They became a group divided. It says the reading said, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, you are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint us then a king to govern us. But the thing displeased Samuel when they says, give us a king to govern us. And Samuel prayed to God, prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in that they say to you, in what they say to you. If they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me. They have rejected God, asking for a king. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now listen to their voice only, and you shall solemnly warn them. And so there is Samuel warning them. He's telling them, if you are divided and you seek to leave God and want a king, all these things are going to happen to your people. They're going to become slaves. They're going to be treated badly. They're going to prostitute them. They're going to do all this. But they would not listen. They would not listen. And the Bible tells us at the end, the Bible tells us, it says, and they themselves what? Israel's request for a king was granted. And friends, if you know the Bible story, you know what happened to the children of Israel and what they went through under Saul. Saul would become the first king of Israel, not because God intended it to be so, but because what? There was a house divided, a group of people divided, who did not want God to lead them anymore. Let us be quite clear, believers. Let us be determined that as a church, it is not about us, but it's about God. Whatever we do in the church is always should be, am I glorifying God? Is this glorifying His kingdom? If someone was to show up in this church, will they say, I'd like to join. I'd like to know Jesus because of us. We are God's ambassadors. We. And we must always act. And don't be ready with the quick gossip. Right? Don't be ready with what, oh, that is so wrong and that is so not and that is so not. We spend time thinking about little things. Little things. Right? Just little things to make it better. From even going to the store to buying a piece of green cloth to put on the cross. He doesn't walk in here. We think about it. And we says, oh, it's green time. We got to get green. Right? So I get in my car. You know, I don't want to go around people. You all know I've been living in exile. Right? In my house. I've been exiled. So when I get in my car, it's a big deal, as Missy would say. And I go up to John Fabric and the people are there and I have my mask and I'm weary and I'm looking for green cloth. Why? I went out last week after leaving the dentist with the, you know, all the work. I go drive up to Joanne Fabric, and I got the green cloth. While I'm there, I says, let me buy purple cloth. Well, for the next time when purple comes. Just so that the church itself could know we are in ordinary times. And everything from all what the Altar Guild does and everybody here, we all know the team. There's a whole team of people. Not singling out anybody because there's a whole team of people who are working, given their times, especially now that everybody cannot come in. Those who are here and can come in, everybody jumping in to do what they can do to glorify God. That's what it's all about. So when we have a hiccup, when something is wonderful, all you got to do is say, help them, Lord. Help them, Jesus. You say it in your, when you see us getting a little, you know that we have been at it. Just say, help us, help them, Jesus. Pray for us as we pray for you, right? That we will do together what the Lord wants us to do. And when you give up your tithes and offering, those of you who cannot help because of where you are or whatever situation, when you give up your tithes and offering, it is all used for the glory of, to the glory of God and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through this local church. All the ministries, whatever we do. And so I want to leave you now, friends, with this benediction that I read within this a little reflection, brief. It's called a benediction about serving wherever you are. Serving wherever you are. Richard Alverson, former pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Bethesda, Maryland, and also the former chaplain of the United States Senate, used the following benediction at the end of each service/message for many years in his ministry. It reflects his deep conviction that his church was not only where the congregation met on Sunday, but at each place where they lived and worked through the week. And here's a benediction. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in you and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, his power. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Remember that, friend. God wants to use you and me. Amen. And so wherever you are, let us serve God and let us seek God. Amen.